from the heart by the Lord, who is seated there and who helps the conditioned soul in remembering and forgetting. The conditioned state is due to the soul's forgetfulness of his relationship of subordination to the Lord. One who wants to continue to forget the Lord is helped by the Lord to forget him birth after birth. But one who remembers him by dint of association with the devotee of the Lord is helped to remember him more and more. Thus, the conditioned soul can ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. This process of transcendental help by the Lord is described in Bhagavad Gita 10.10 as follows. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami bhuti yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. The bhuti yoga process of self-realization with intelligence transcendental to the mind, devotional service, can alone elevate one from the conditioned state of material entanglement in the cosmic construction. The conditioned state of the living entity is like that of a person who is within the depths of a huge mechanical arrangement. The mental speculators can reach the point of bhuti yoga after many, many lifetimes of speculation. But the intelligent person who begins from the path of intelligence above the mind makes rapid progress in self-realization. Because the bhuti yoga process entails no fear of the deterioration or regression or retrogression at any time, it is a guaranteed path to self-realization, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2.40. The mental speculators cannot understand that the two birds, Sweta Svatara Upanishad, sitting in one tree, are the soul and the supersoul. The individual soul eats the fruit of the tree, while the other bird does not eat the fruit, but only observes the activities of the eating bird. Without attachment, the witnessing bird helps a fruit-eating bird perform fruitful activities. One who cannot understand this difference between the soul and the supersoul, or God and the living entities, is certainly still in the entanglement of the cosmic machinery and thus must still await the time when he will be free from bondage. Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvisesa Sunyavari Praschatya Deshatarne. So originally, original position is that we are eternal servants of Krishna. We are there in the spiritual world with Krishna. But forgetting our actual position, we were put into this material world. So we desired this. We desired to become the enjoyer. So Krishna covered us by the mystery of forgetfulness, and this way we misidentified with ourselves as the mind and the body. So this is our situation. We desire to become the master. But in the spiritual world, there's only one master, Krishna. So Krishna told us, all right, go to the material world and become a master. So in this way, we came here to this material world, but so many others are also thinking the same way. In this way, there's simply a struggle for existence. So we are the same as Krishna in terms of quality. Qualitatively, we're the same as Krishna. But the difference is that we are apt to be attracted to the material creation, both actively and subjectively. Both subjectively and actively. And because we're not unlimited like Krishna. Krishna is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. He has unlimited knowledge. He has full knowledge of past, present, and future. But we do not have that. Therefore, we sometimes forget our actual position, which is specifically shown in this material world. So we come to this material world, and by association with other conditioned souls, we become contaminated by this association, and our heart is covered by the dust of materialism. And we develop a natural inclination by practice, by this association, to become a lord, to lord over the material world. So this is not our actual position. Actually, it is stated that the living entities cannot become non-devotees because their constitutional position is that they are eternal servants of Krishna. But somehow or another, they become non-devotees or non-believers because they are not in a sound condition of life. So in this way, we are suffering here in this material world, and Krishna wants us back in this. He wants us back. It's stated in a sense that Krishna is suffering more than we are suffering. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of the parents, when their child is suffering, they are suffering more than the child. So in one sense, it says that Krishna suffers more than we are actually suffering. So in this way, he wants to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls. There are two ways that Krishna reclaims the fallen conditioned souls. One is by the punishment by the external energy, and one is by the spiritual master, both within and without. So the spiritual master within is the super soul, the Paramatma, and the spiritual master without is the Vedic scriptures, the sadhus, and the initiating spiritual master. So in this way, he claims the conditioned souls. So in this way, by coming in contact with the spiritual master within and without, one becomes purified. Simply by seeing a devotee, one becomes purified. Like it is stated that simply by taking bath in the Ganges, one becomes purified. So similarly, by simply seeing, by even low-class people seeing a pure devotee of the Lord, they become purified simply by seeing him. And by seeing him, all fear is dissipated. All fear goes away. Just like in the darkness, we can't see things as they are in the middle of the night. Everything is in darkness, and there's danger at every step. At every moment, there is danger. But when the sun rises, then we could see things in their proper perspective. So similarly, when we come in contact with the pure devotee of the Lord, all the ignorance is dissipated. So this is so important. Association is so important. It's mentioned Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto, 18th chapter, verse 13, that the value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot be compared to the attainment of the heavenly planets, from liberation from matter, and what to speak of worldly benediction in the shape of material prosperities, which are meant for those which are for those who are meant for death. So it's such a valuable thing. Lord Chaitanya himself said that association, a moment's association with the pure pure devotee of the Lord will give one the ultimate perfection of life. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in that connection that if it weren't for having the meeting for a few minutes with His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, he said it would not have been possible for us to render the Srimad Bhagavatam into English. He said I could have become a big business magnate, but I would not be able to traverse the path of perfection and be engaged in the factual service of the Lord under the instructions of His Divine Grace. So this is such an important thing, association. So in this way, we shouldn't waste our time. If we want to go back to home, back to Godhead, we can't waste our valuable time in talking about or hearing about any topics other than those about the Supreme Lord and His pure devotees. So this remembrance of Krishna or forgetfulness of Krishna is there by association. So if you want to remember Krishna, then you have to associate with devotees. And if someone wants to forget Krishna, then they have to not associate with devotees. You have to associate with materialists. In this way, they can stay in this material world for millions and millions of births and become a great atheist and write volumes of books on atheism. But if you want to become a devotee, then you have to associate with devotees. Or Prabhupada mentioned the example, if you want to become a drunkard, you have to associate with drunkards. So in this way, association is very, very important. So in this way, we have to just associate with the sadhus. And by associating with the sadhus, they will cut all our illusion of the attractive material world. So this material world is simply, it's not a tangible reality. It's like the dashing foam on the waves of the ocean or the cloud. The cloud comes and it rains and the vegetation is there, but after a while it all disappears, and only the sky and the planets in the sky actually remain. So Krishna is compared to the sky, and the cloud is compared to the material world. So the devotees, they're more interested in the sky, whereas the non-devotees, they are more interested in the cloud. So we have to take advantage of the sadhus. And this association is so important. This is the beginning of devotional service. Devotional service begins with association. And these nine processes of devotional service, hearing, chanting, remembering, nine processes of devotional service being Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartana Vritti, all the way up to Ruchi, Bhava, Prema, like that. So these, I'll just mention a few. Hearing, chanting, remembering, and then there's love of God. So these different processes, they're nourished by the influence of association. So these are to be successful in these processes, one has to have the association at the different levels of devotional service. And of course, the prema is there, or surrender is there. Prema actually means complete surrender to the Lord, and this is possible by association. So one needs the association of devotees. It's not simply a matter of even reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. If one doesn't get gets in touch with a devotee of the Lord, self-realized soul, then it's not possible, even by reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, to become self-realized. One needs the association of a self-realized soul. So in this way, we have to associate with devotees, and we have to avoid a materialistic association. If one associates with worldly sense gratifiers, then it's considered to be a suicidal policy. It will frustrate one's goal of going back home, back to Godhead. And specifically those who are interested in becoming self-realized, two things are strictly forbidden. To associate with non-devotees or sense enjoyers, and to associate with women. So women means, somebody may say, well, what about women? And so women means that which is enjoyable. So Prabhupada explained in one lecture, he says, for men, women are women, and for women, men are women. So it's that's the conception, a false conception. This is meant for my enjoyment. So if you approach men or women in that way, then you become contaminated. You associate with them in that way, you become contaminated. So this is very much rejected in spiritual life, materialist, or accepting things for sense gratification. So the association is there, and Srila Prabhupada mentioned once in a morning walk in 1975, he said that simply you could associate with me simply by reading my books. So simply by reading my books, one can associate with Srila Prabhupada. And hearing is the most important. Of all the processes of devotional service, hearing is the most important, because without hearing sufficiently and properly, one can't make progress in any of the other different kinds of devotional service. So there's different kinds of devotional service, hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping, offering service, becoming a friend, surrendering everything. So there's different levels of devotional service. Well, without properly hearing, then that's not possible. So hearing is there. We have to, like Prabhupada says, we should hear sufficiently. So sufficiently means at least, Prabhupada said, he said, all the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement must read all the books that have been translated. Otherwise, after some time, they will simply eat, sleep, and fall down. So specifically, Prabhupada translated 9 books. He translated Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Book, Light of the Bhagavat, Teachings of the Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, and Sri Shapanishad. So these are the 9 books that Prabhupada translated. So he wanted us to sufficiently hear, so this means sufficiently reading all these books and engage in going to classes or reading at least for 2 hours a day. So Prabhupada emphasized this, at least 2 hours. At one point he was saying, oh, he was writing letters to devotees, oh, you could spend like 4 hours and, you know, all this. And then I think devotees were saying, what about devotees on Sankirtan, Prabhupada? They're preaching. Prabhupada said, 2 hours is sufficient, once in the morning and once in the evening time. And he said, I remember when I joined here in 72, we have, you know, Bhagavad Gita class in the evening and Bhagavad Gita class in the morning. And after a while, there was a big push for book distribution, so that was going on. And Srila Prabhupada was very pleased with that. But many of the devotees, or most of the devotees in book distribution, weren't coming back for the Bhagavad Gita class. Just the devotees that worked in the kitchen, like myself and other devotees. So somebody wrote to Prabhupada and said, no. He said, I think he wrote to Rameshwar saying, the people under your care, this should not happen. They should come back from the Bhagavad Gita class. And I remember he was, after that, the devotees on book distribution would come back for the Bhagavad Gita class. So one has to get sufficient reading. One has to hear sufficiently. And this one way would come purified. And then one can make progress in all the other methods of devotional service. So this hearing is possible regardless of the circumstances, like Prahlad Maharaj, he heard Bhagavad Dharma from Narada Muni while he was in the womb of his mother. And Parasara Muni, who was the father of Srila Vyasadeva, he heard the Vedas. He learned the Vedas while he was in the womb of his mother. So simply by hearing, in any circumstance, if one is sincere, if one has Krishna's mercy, then one can make great spiritual advancement. And Sutta Goswami, he was doubly, he got the double mercy by the association of Sukadeva Goswami. So he heard from Sukadeva Goswami, and then he also recited Srimad Bhagavatam to the sages in the Nanyashranya forest. In this way, he got the double benefit. So hearing is very important, but it's solidified by chanting. So in this way, it becomes very much solid within oneself just by preaching or speaking. One becomes solidified. So in this way, we have to hear the instructions of the spiritual master. The instructions he gives is that we should control our mind, because if we don't control our mind, then there's no question of making advancement in spiritual life. That we have to be self-controlled, disciplined, and fully obedient. Otherwise, there is no possibility of following the instructions of the spiritual master, without which there's no possibility of going back to home, back to Godhead. And if we want to become a pure devotee, three things are required: that we become faithful, learned, and renounced. Faithful to Krishna. Faithful to Krishna, learned in Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedic scriptures, and obedient to or renounced. We have to be renounced from material sense gratification. This way, we become a pure devotee of the Lord. So in this way, we have to advance in spiritual life. It is stated that to become a pure devotee, two things are essential. To take birth in a family of devotees and to have a bona fide spiritual master. And the example is given of Maharaj Parikshit. He was born in the family of the Pandavas, a pure devotees, and he had a bona fide spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami. But also it is stated that the ultimate aim of the Varnashrama system is to turn a crude man into a pure devotee of the Lord. Thus, anyone can become a Vaishnava, being accepted by another Vaishnava, Uttama Adhikari, and thus automatically he is a Brahmana, regardless of his birth or past deeds. So this is the great benefit of association with the pure devotee of the Lord. So, we have this association, and by taking that association, we will become purified. If we're sincere, then Krishna will send to us the spiritual master, and by his instructions, we will receive the seed of bhakti. So devotional service is compared to a creeper, and by accepting the creeper and planting it within our heart, then it will develop by the process of hearing and chanting and reading the scriptures, and it will develop more and more and penetrate through the eight coverings of this material universe, attain the spiritual sky where the Brahman effulgence is, go further and further to the Vaikuntha planets, then take shelter of under Krishna's feet in Goloka Vrindavan, and develop the fruit of love of Godhead. So even though the devotee attains that position, his bhakti lata bij, his the creeper devotional verse fructifies, and it goes to the kingdom of God. He goes there to the kingdom of God, although apparently it seems that he is still in this material world, but he actually goes to the kingdom of God. So by watering this, the creeper, one becomes Krishna conscious, but one has to be very careful about committing offenses at the lotus feet of the devotees, especially the great devotees like the spiritual master. It's described by committing offenses at the feet of the great devotees and the spiritual master. This is compared to a mad elephant. The mad elephant, if one goes in the garden and it just tramples everything, destroys everything. So in this way, one's bhakti, lata bij, one's creeper devotional service will be hampered. And also, one has to be careful about the different weeds that become manifest, because when one chants and hears about Krishna, also some weeds will develop also. So one has to pull out those weeds. The weeds are various things like mundane religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation in terms of merging into the Brahman effulgence. So these are weeds that we have to pull out, keep them at bay. And there's also other offenses we have to keep away, or other weeds we have to keep away. In this way, we have to be serious. In this way, we will attain perfection. So Krishna's mercy is for everyone. One simply has to take advantage of it, just like the sunshine is there for everyone. But if one keeps oneself locked up in one's room, then one can't get the benefit of the sunshine. So we have to take this instruction and utilize it so at the time of death, we could reach our destination. So it's described in a sense that at the time of death, we're on our own. So it's like, probably gives an example of an airplane. So many airplanes may be flying together, but if one airplane is having trouble, then none of the other airplanes can help him. So during our life, we have to take assistance from the devotees, from the spiritual master, and utilize that instruction during our life and at the time of death. In this way, we will attain Krishna's lotus feet. So we can stop there. Thank you very much. All glories to Shishu, Guru, and Gauranga.